Hallelujah. The name is Christ. We commence our fifth class of the Prayer of Our Forefathers. Let's turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. So we know that Lot, even though he followed his uncle Abraham, but he himself did not build an altar to the Lord. So that's why even though he became wealthy because of his uncle, but he himself has no relationship with God. So that's why during this time, when Abraham said to him, if you go to the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. So when he lifted up his eyes, then he saw the plain of the Jordan. And the plain of Jordan, of course, the first thing is what? That it was very well watered. I mean, anywhere you move to, of course, when it's well watered, it would be very wonderful. Not only that, but it say it also looked like the garden of the Lord. So it's mean it's very green, it's very lush, and all these things, it's very good. Not only that, but also say look, it looks like what? Egypt, right? Egypt, the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. So we can see that Lot only used his physical eyesight to see the things that is outwardly beautiful. But what he needs to understand, to know, that the Lord, he must see through the eyes of the Lord, just like Abraham. And look at Abraham, right? Look at Abraham. In verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. So here, Abraham did not lift his eyes according to his own will, according to his own way. But rather, Abraham lifted up his eyes, what? When the Lord told him to. Really, this is the big difference, right? Because when you and I do things according to our own will, quite often, it's always going to be wrong. Because during that time, Lot did not know that God was going to destroy the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. But that's why Abraham, through faith, he allowed God to move him from place to place, because what he's looking for is not even the things on this earth. What he's looking for is the builder and founder is God himself. So that's why the same thing for us. You know, one day you can become very wealthy, and there's nothing wrong with that. Right, work hard, go to school, go to the best school, and make the most money as you can. But all those things one day will perish. All those things one day will be gone. Really, what are you going to do if you buy a Ferrari, right? Kevin, what's your favorite car? You into cars? You're not, huh? Any brothers into cars? What kind of car you like? An Audi R8? Oh, that's not, how much that go for? 150,000. Okay, that's not bad. Any sisters into cars? Huh? You into cars? You like cars? What kind of car do you like? A Tesla. That's a Ferrari. No. Is it a Ferrari? Tesla. There's Tesla. What make? Huh? Oh, electric car. One of those small ones? No, which one? Oh, it's real expensive? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm out of date too, huh? I'm out of date, yeah. Because I know when I was young, I always want a Lamborghini, right? Because I thought it was so cool, right? The Lamborghini, you just open, your doors open sideways, upward, things like that, right? But now, at this age, I like audio and video stuff, right? Anybody into audio and video stuff? Like I'm talking about like surround sound and things like that, right? Yeah. So I mean, sisters, you guys, you into audio and video stuff? You just into surround sound stuff too? Oh, wow. Huh? Yeah, it's more like surround sound. Like if you put music, like when you go to a theater, right? And you hear all those bass and all those sound, that is surround sound, right? Yeah, so I'm into that kind of stuff too, but it doesn't matter what you're into, right? Right now, I mean, when you get older, right? You don't want to hear loud noises, right? So even though you're into surround sound, when you get older, can you drive really a fast car and stuff like that? Not really, right? You live in Hawaii, you have nowhere to go, even you buy a fast car. The island is so small, nobody goes over 55 miles per hour because there's nowhere to go, right? Within an hour and a half, you drive, go through the whole island already. So that's why I hardly see any sports cars in Hawaii. Why? Because there's no place to go, right? Well, I'm sure some rich people, they buy, right? But I never see them on the road. I hardly see them on the road. Why? Because, you know, especially a fast car, right? There's nowhere to go, right? But whatever it is you're into, on the end, for me, really enjoy yourself, really. If you want a Ferrari, you have the money to buy it, buy it. If you want an Audi, you have money to do it, just do it, right? But don't buy that kind of car and then you cannot pay for your mortgage, right? You know, and things like that. You can take care of your wife first and then you take care of all those kind of stuff later, right? That's what's important. But on the end, you can see, right? Everything that you and I have, one day it will be destroyed. It doesn't matter what it is. Right now, you guys are very young, right? You're quite fit, right? You don't have a belly, anything, right? You're in good shape, right? When you get older, I'm telling you, when you reach 40, okay? I've been telling my wife, I'll get a six-pack. That was 5 years ago, right? I'm still working on my six-pack. It's so difficult. When I was your age, man, I was solid. I was solid. I'm telling you. I mean, at your age, you're kidding me, you know? And when I was in eighth grade, I played freshman football already, right? When I was a freshman, I played junior varsity already, right? In 10th grade, I played 3 years of varsity, right? Because, you know, I was really, really fit, but now, oh, man. And I used to run, like, 15 miles, 20 miles, no problem, I'm telling you. No problem, right? I remember one time my wife, she's going out running, and I'm like, oh, I'll go out with you, right? And like, oh, you're going to be too slow. So I put weights, like 5-pound weights on my wrist, one side, this side, and then a 10-pound on each side of my legs, right? I went out one block, I came back. I was so exhausted. That is age, old age, right? So everything that you and I see with our physical eyes, one day it will be gone. No, one day my wife visited me in Hawaii, right? And we went to like a restaurant right on the beach. Then we're eating, and all of a sudden they make an announcement, yeah, well, you know, tonight we can have a special guest, and the special guest is Miss Hawaii. Like, Miss Hawaii, right? They were like, oh, wow, she must be very beautiful, right? Then she came out. She's like this old-looking lady. They're like, what? She used to be Miss Hawaii? Then we look at her, maybe 30 years ago. You know, you try to make like, there's no way, like, you know. But that's what happened, really. That's what happened. So right now, really, you're at the stage that you can give all to the Lord, right? Your strength, like physically, right? You can give to the Lord. When you get older, I tell you, you get so tired. You know, a lot of time when ministers, right, sit down and you fall asleep, right? Because we are tired. We are tired, right? And as young men, you guys should not be tired. You shouldn't be tired, right? So, but anything that you see with your physical eyes, one day will be gone. Just remember this, right? So that's why brothers, quite often brothers, when you want to marry a sister, right? Right? Of course, outwardly appearance is good, right? But if you only use your physical eye to see the outward appearance, it won't last forever, right? Because your wife, after she has the first baby, that's it. All the look is gone. You understand? So you must marry what? For the inner beauty, right? The same thing for sisters. Sisters. Sometimes sisters are so picky too, right? You want 6 foot tall person, you want this and that, but marry someone who has a good heart. Really, because on the end, that good heart can never grow old. Really. But actually, a good heart becomes more beautiful the older we get. I remember one time NYTS, there's a sister, I mean, she's good looking. I guess she's good looking. So we went around and all the brother. It's like 20 brothers pray for the same sister, right? I was just saying, how can that be? Right? Because there's only one brother can marry to her, right? But none of the brothers marry her, and end up she marries somebody else, right? But then don't look at your physical eyesight, right? to look at things in your life. Even though, yes, when God created the Garden of Eden, he created what? A tree, right? It's what? It's good for food, right? And what is the second thing? Pleasant to the eyes, right? So that's why when God brought Eve to Adam, what did he say? Oh, what is that? He did not say that, right? He did not say, what is that? It's like, wow, bones my bone, flesh my flesh. So we're not saying that you have to marry someone ugly. God is not God's intention, right? Can you imagine marrying someone you do not like the way they look? For the next 60 years, you have to look at them. God's intention is not like this. But you must use your spiritual eyesight to look at that person. Right? Not only the outward beauty. Right? Really, I share with you. Oh, forget it. Yeah, forget it. Just, it's on the end, what is the most beautiful is the inner beauty. So that's why for, you know, in Genesis chapter 13, we can see when Lot lifted up his eyes, the only thing that he saw was all the physical aspect of the land. But when God told Abraham to lift up his eyes, right? And what did he see? Actually, he didn't see anything. But spiritually speaking, he saw that God will be the one, the builder and founder of this place that he wanted to be. But because Lot, he did not build an altar to the Lord. And look at, right? Look at, he pitched his tent. They started from there. That's the last time we left off, right? Where is it? That he pitched his tent, right? Yes. Verse 12. Yes, verse 12. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. As far as Sodom, which means, actually, he went to Sodom. When he went to Sodom, this means he put his whole family in danger. And what happened when he lived in Sodom? Look at verse 8, chapter 14, verse 8 to verse 10. Chapter 14, verse 8 to verse 10. And the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Amah, the king of Zoboim, and the king of Bala, that is Zoar, went out and joined together in battle in the valley of Sidon. Verse 9. Again, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tedor, king of Nation, Abraphel, king of Sena, and Uriel, king of Alasa, four kings against five. So what does that mean? When you read these two verses, what does it mean to you? Sisters, what does it mean to you? Adriana, what does it mean to you, these two verses, when you read it? What was going on there? Huh? Eileen, help out. Eileen, what's going on? You have no idea what's going on. Sister, what's going on? Yeah, there's war, right? There's war. Right? That's what it is. There's war, right? So here, what happened? That you can see, right, where Lot went. There's always war, right? There's what? There's five kings against how many? Four kings against five kings, right? There's always war. There's always turmoil. Like we talk about the world that we live in nowadays. Even though, actually, this war has nothing to do with Lot, right? It has nothing to do with Lot. Just like so many things in this world has nothing to do with us. But if you and I go next to it, sooner or later, something will happen. So that's why for Lot, even though all these wars going on, but he still did not want to leave the place of Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like for us, when we go into the world, we can see no one is at peace. Everybody's fighting, right? Everybody's greedy. Everybody's committing adultery. Everybody's doing all these bad things. But for you and I, we must see it very clearly. Why? Because if we don't get out of it, and then what happened? And on the end, right? On the end. Look at verse 11. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the provision and went their way. Verse 12. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. So what happened to Sodom? Joshua, what happened to Lot? He got captured, right? Was he in the war? No. He was minding his own business, right? But why? Because he lived too close to the war zone, to the battle zone. So because of this, he got kidnapped. Now what about all his stuff, all his possessions? It took all that kind of stuff too, right? So what does that mean for us nowadays, spiritually speaking? If you and I don't build an altar, when we lift up our eyes, we don't see the things that we need to see. So because of this, that's why Lot went to dwell and pitch his tent as far as Sodom and Gomorrah. So even though there's great battles, there's great war, but Lot never wanted to leave. He wanted to stay there. Because of this, he got kidnapped. Then what happened? He lost all his possessions. So it's very important, brothers and sisters. That's why nowadays, right, for us, we must see things from the eyes of the Lord. If not, we will fall into temptation. If not, you and I can be spiritually killed. Let's turn to the book of Revelation. Keep a bookmark here in chapter 14. Revelation. Revelation. Chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Verse 4. Let me ask you a question. In the book of Revelation, how many times was John in the Spirit of the Lord? How many times? You guys know? You know, Jeff? Two. More than two. Two plus two. Four. Four. Okay. Four times John was in the Spirit of the Lord. And every time he was in the Spirit of the Lord, he sees something that no one else can see. Just like here. So in chapter 17, we can see here, right? That once again, that John was in the Spirit of the Lord. And what does he say? Look at verse 3, right? So he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness. In the wilderness. And what did he see? Look at verse 4. Of course, he saw this. And let's continue to read verse 3. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stone and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. So here, this woman, when you look at this woman who sat on this scarlet beast, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? What do you see? When you look at this woman on this scarlet beast, what is the first thing you see? Hello? What is the first thing you see? What's that? Okay, material wealth. How? Why do you say that? Okay. Yes, it's true. What does it mean when she's the woman arrayed in purple and scarlet? What does that mean? Who wears purple and scarlet? Sister. Sister, who wears purple and scarlet? What kind of people? Do you wear the kind of clothing? Yes, royalty. Royalty. This means she must be a queen, you understand? Or a princess. So she have royal what? Royal, like, garment. So when you look at her, wow. This woman is quite nice, right? She maybe is very beautiful. You understand? And then what else do you see? She have gold, right? Blink, blink, right? And precious stones and pearls. She actually, she's not only dressed in royalty, she's also quite wealthy, right? Why? Because gold and precious stones, it is... This is royalty who has a lot of money. If that's the only thing that you see, this woman represent what? This, yes, the world. This woman represent the world. Because outwardly, if we look only with our physical eyesight, this is what we see. This world is so wonderful, right? Think about this. This world is so wonderful. But you must look deeper. You must look from the eyesight of God. Then when you look further, what happened? You saw what? A golden cup. Wow, golden cup. You guys ever drinking a golden cup before? No, we think like out of foam cups and things like that, right? A golden cup, right? Golden cup. You see someone drink a golden cup, like, wow, that person must be rich or something, right? Golden cup, right? Can you imagine a cup that is gold, how much it's worth, right? But don't look with only with a physical eyesight. Then you look deep, and then what happened? Inside this cup is what? The abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Kevin, if I give you two cups, right? One golden cup and one plastic cup, right? Which one would you want to use? That's a good answer, right? Everybody would like to use a golden one. What happened? I put dog doo-doo in there. Would you use it? There's no way. Even that cup is so goldy. Oh, it's so goldy. So bright and gold. You're not going to be able to use it, right? Why? Because it has doo-doo in it, right? So the same thing. This world is like this. Right? When we talk about the world, we talk about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life. So remember, right, when you look from the eyesight of the Lord, you see things very differently. See things very differently. When you look deeper, look, she has a filthiness, a fornication, what? And what kind of woman is she? Look at verse 5. And on her forehead, a name was written, mystery. What does it mean, mystery? Anybody watch Sherlock Holmes? Mystery. Are you Sherlock Holmes? What does it mean, mystery? You have to solve it. Many people in this world cannot solve it. You understand? They cannot see it very clearly. So that's why so many people in this world, what? They love to be in the world doing all the things, right? You remember the story one time about this guy, right? He's at the gate waiting to be judged. Because either go to heaven or go to hell. But when he was waiting, there's two television, right? And this one he was looking at, and it was Hades. And this is no, and everybody's having so much fun, right? Everybody's playing cards, everybody's singing, everybody with they're with women and things like that, right? So, but then there's another TV. It's people are so bored. They just sat there, right, and doing nothing, right? So when he went to his turn, his number was up, and then the angel called him to come up. He's like, "Where do you want to go?" He's like, "Of course, a no-brainer. I want to go to Hades." And the angel asked him, "Are you sure?" He's like, "Yeah, look at the TV, right?" I say, "Okay." The minute he say that, he went down to Hades and Satan's right there burning him, stuff like that, right? And he said to Satan, "What happened? When I was in a waiting area, I saw that you guys have so much fun." He said, "This was only a commercial to get you guys down here." You understand? The world is like this. The world is like a big commercial, right? For you to fall into temptation. For you to sin against God. Then on the end, what happened? You will go to Hades. You will go to Hades. And that's what happened. But look at for us. Well, I mean, what exciting, most excitement do we do? What do you do for excitement? Besides talking to your friend Victor. What else do you do? Okay, you play anything else? Oh, good. You don't do too much. That's good. What about you, brother? What do you do for fun? You do anything with your brother?
I go run.
You go run? Okay. Is that it? Man, boring. Boring. Anything else? Anybody else do something that's really fun? Yeah. Snowboard. Okay, that's fun. If I do it now, I'll probably break all my legs. Snowboarding. But anybody else do anything else fun? Why? Because a lot of things that's fun will cause us to sin. That's what the world considers fun, right? But of course, sport is very good, right? Sport is very good. If you have an opportunity to do sports, yeah, go snowboarding, right? Go skiing, go surfing, right? Go play golf, go whatever, right? Those kind of stuff will not, cause us to get in so much trouble, right? Like everything else. But when the world thing is fun, what do you think the world thing? What is fun for the people in the world?
Like going to the club or something.
Yeah, go clubbing. Huh? You ever want to go clubbing? Dancing and stuff? No? No? Anybody like dancing? Dancing? When you hear music, just go with the beat. Yeah, I like dancing. I don't mind dancing. But clubbing, right? People think that's so fun, right? And what's another thing besides clubbing? What's that thing? Drinking, yeah. Drinking what? Soda? Yeah. Drinking, right? People think drinking is so much fun, right? Anyone you ever tried alcohol before? What happened? Why is the four of you right here try something? What's the deal with that? There's a drinking magnet over here. So what did you drink before? What did you try before?
I tried a little bit of wine and a little bit of beer. Okay.
It's like a little.
I guess a little bit, this much. Then what happened? How do you, you're addicted to it now? You drink every day?
It doesn't really taste that good.
Okay, yeah, it's true. What did you try? A little bit of wine. How, you, do you like it? No. How about you, brother? What you?
I don't remember. I was like five. My father
used to like you tell that your father used to abuse you. Yeah, how about you? Civil wine. Okay, so you guys tried wine before, right? Actually, alcohol doesn't taste good at all. It really doesn't taste good, right? But of course, there's some of our brothers and sisters addicted to alcohol, right? Yes. Why? Because when you go to work and then you have happy hour, right? You guys know about happy hour, right? After work, you go with your co-workers to drink, right? That make them happy, right? But of course, when you if you do that, actually, some people get really addicted to alcohol, right? And it's a very serious thing. But really, think about this. Okay, dancing, drinking, you combine the two together, right? You go dancing and then you drink at the same time. It must be a lot of fun, right? You guys think, you know, think like that, right? Anything else? Really, anything else that anybody does you think is so fun that you want to do? Anything else? Okay, I did everything before, really, almost everything. I ski, I snowboard, I play football, I play basketball, whatever. I surf, I play golf, I do all these things already, right? You know, on the end, you know what my favorite part of when, you know, I'm in my garden, right? Water my roses, that's my favorite part of the day. Really, this, of course, I'm not saying you cannot do things. You do things that make sure these things doesn't go over the boundary of sinning against God. Look at this woman in this cup. It's abomination and filthiness, and it's a mystery. Mystery just means not too many people can see it. So make sure you and I have the eyes glasses of faith to see through everything, even through this golden cup. And I'm sure that everyone outwardly, when they look at this golden cup, they want to use it. But don't only look outwardly. Look at what's inside, right? And this inside is full of doo-doo. And I'm sure none of you, even I give you about $1,000 and use the golden cup with doo-doo in it. Would you drink from it? No. Don't wash it first. You get to drink it. There's no way, right? There's no way. For about $50,000. Huh? Nice. Drink with the doo-doo. Anything. You can mix milk with the doo-doo. And it look like brownie. What do you think? Oh, you'll do it, $50,000. Come on, $50,000. Close your eyes. And clean it really fast. Right? No, but spiritually, it's worse than doo-doo, you understand? When you eat, it defiles your whole body. It defiles everything. Maybe the real doo-doo is only you taste it, right? Then just rinse it with milk, quickly, quickly. But spiritual, no, it goes through your whole system. It defiles your whole body. Then it stays there forever. It stays there forever. So that's why you must be very careful. And then look at verse 6, chapter 17, verse 6 in Revelation. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of who? The blood of who? Saints. Who are the saints? Who are the saints? Yeah, you guys, right? Did she drink some of your blood already? You don't know? Maybe. Benjamin, does she drink some of your blood already, the woman? You don't know. What does it mean she's drunk with your blood, right? Every time you and I sin against God, right? This means like this woman, she's like a vampire sucking your blood. Why this adulterous woman? So that's why very important that one day when this woman, right, make sure she has none of our blood inside there. Because the minute she's drunk with our blood, in reality, who is the blood she's drunk with? It's our Lord Jesus Christ, you understand? So that's why we don't want to feed her. We don't want to sin against God. Why? Because every time we sin against God, once again, God spilled his blood for you and I. And same thing for me too. Every day I try my best not to sin against God. And this is our goal, because I know that every time I sin against God, once again, I crucify him. And once again, I spill his blood. And who end up drinking it? This adulterous woman. adulterous woman. And you and I must have a spiritual eyesight. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis. See, that's why, look at Sodom. I mean, look at the Lot, chapter 14. Remember, when he left Abraham, he had everything. But now, he got kidnapped. Now he lost all his possessions. And not only that, right? Let's go to chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. Genesis 19, 26. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became pillar of salt. Not only he was kidnapped. Remember, after he was kidnapped, who went to release him? Who went to save him? Abraham. And after he was released, then where did he go and live? Did he go back with his uncle to live with him? No, where did he go? He went to Sodom and Gomorrah. For me, God always gives us chances. When you and I do something wrong against God, sin against God, he always gives us chances, just like Lot. God allowed Abraham to go and to release him from his being in prison, being kidnapped. But then where did he go? He should have gone back with his uncle, right? Seemed like a no-brainer, right? If Sodom and Gomorrah is full of wicked people, full of war, why he went back? Really? Why did he go back? Sister, what do you think? Why do you think he went back? Yes, it's true. Why? Because he's addicted to Sodom and Gomorrah, you understand? To the thing that is not good for him. So now, when the angel want to bring them out. Remember, his two daughters, they were married, right? Right? And what? Look at verse 14, chapter 19, verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up. Get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his son-in-law, he seemed to be joking. So can you imagine that time, right? So God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, so Lot wanted to help his son-in-law. Then he told him God's going to destroy his whole place. And to them, what was their thought? They thought it was a joke. What kind of mentality is this? Does that mean what? Then their two wives just left and they just stay there, right? You see, the relationship is really bad. You understand? Sometimes when we read it, we don't think. Look, the two husbands, right? They married to his two daughters. But then his daughter's going to leave. And then what did the husband say? Well, yeah, okay, I'll talk to you later. That's what happened when you marry those who do not believe in God. And then what? His wife. Because they live in Sodom and Gomorrah for a while. So the angel had to take them by the hands, right? And told Lot, let's go, right? And the reason why the angel did that, what? Because of God's grace. Because Abraham was God's friend. And even though he did not want to go out, but the angel keep insist, go out. So the angel took them by the hands. But such a sad thing. When they went out, right? And his wife looked back behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. So sad. So sad. Even though the two sons-in-law did not come out with his two daughters. But his wife, she seemed that she really got away from it. But then on the end, actually, she turned to pillar of salt. So what does that mean? Why did she turn to pillar of salt, Joseph? Yes, why? What's that looking back? Hey, I look back, but I don't turn this off. Let it go what? Let it go of what? Yes. You understand? She could not let go of the world. Then she looked back. Why? Because, when you look at the woman who dress in purple and scarlet, right? Have gold and jewelry on, right? Just, psh. It's a golden cup, how cool that is. Then it's difficult not to look at her. You understand? It's difficult not to look at her. So that's why she turned back. This means she could not let it go. And then what happened? Turned pillar of salt. Turned pillar of salt. This is so sad, right? This is so sad. Then not only that, but look at chapter 19. Verse 36. See, let's start from verse 1934. It happened on the next day that the firstborn said to the younger, "Indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let us make him drink wine tonight also." So no drinking, guys. No drinking, okay? When you drink, you do stupid things. Just like Lot, right? Then what? He said, "And you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father," verse 35. Then they make their father drink wine that night also. And the younger rose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose, verse 36. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father, verse 37. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of Moabites to this day. Verse 38. And the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ami. He is the father of the people Ammon to this day. So what happened here? What happened here? Huh? Yes. The two daughters commit incest. I mean, did they know it was right? Did they know it was wrong? What do you think? Christopher, what do you think? You think they know it was wrong? What's that? Okay. So this means if the Ten Commandments is not established yet, then you don't think they know. How do we know they know it's wrong? Okay, okay. But how do we know exactly they are wrong? Yes. Yes. You understand? If that is the case, why don't they just ask the father, "Oh, father, we have no lineage, right? Right, let's sleep together, we continue." No, they make their father drunk, so he doesn't know what he's doing, right? Because they knew it was wrong, you understand? You understand? Sometimes, you know, quite often, right, one time a young brother asked me, they're not HDS too, is it okay to eat a person? The Bible never say that, right? So do you need a Ten Commandment to tell you that you cannot eat a person? No, come on, right? Just like having sexual relationship with your parents. You don't need the Ten Commandments, right? You say that is wrong. It's wrong. Do you understand? You believe that eating people is wrong, right? Yes, yes. Who taught you that? Did your parents tell you that? Yeah. They did? They're like, "Hey, don't go around eating people." No, but no, I'm sure no one sat you down and said, "Now, watch out, Jack. Right, make sure you don't eat anybody, right? Don't make mistake eating when you're eating dinner stuff. Don't eat anyone, right?" No, you just know already, right? You understand there are certain things in our lives we know, right? That is wrong, right? Like if you slap her in the face, is that you think that's the right thing to do? No, right? Who taught you that? So don't do that. Yes, it's common sense. You don't go around slapping people in the face, right? And think it's okay. No, you don't go around eating people, right? You don't go around, what, committing incest with your family, with your relative, with your family. We know it's wrong. But for them, why did they do it? Why? Because they probably thought, look, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, they are so wicked, right? Because what, men have sex with men, right? Women have sex with women. Remember, right, when the angel went to visit Lot, and then what did Lot tell them? Remember, sister. Are you? Yes. Yeah, but when they want to sleep outside, yeah, that's true. But when they want to sleep outside, when the angel want to sleep outside, right? And what did Lot say to them? You know, he told them, don't sleep outside because those men are wicked. You understand? They will come and defile them, right? And then the next step, what? And then what? When the men want to break down the door, right, to be what? To do what with the angels? To sleep with them. This is men. Then what did Lot say? Yes. Is that right? Lot say, no, look, my two daughters, you can have them. What kind of father is that? Why? Because they live in Sodom and Gomorrah, you understand? All their thinking is all upside down, right? It's all upside down. He said, look, my two daughters, you can have them. But what did the man say? We don't want your daughters. What kind of craziness is this? Instead, they want the men, right? See, this is the world that we live in nowadays, I tell you. Everything is upside down. Everything is against God's teaching. Everything is against God's teaching. So that's why for you and I, we must be very careful, right? If we don't see things from the eyes of the Lord, then we just like the man in Sodom and Gomorrah. So that's why his two daughters, look. Right? Look, we have no lineages. So let us go into our father and make. And then who's the Moabites? What's that? Yes. They're the one that's the greatest enemy. And then the Ammonites, right, too, right? The Ammon, right? So what do they represent? So when the Moabites attacked the Israelites, what does that mean, spiritually speaking? What's that? Yes, attacked by sin. What kind of sin? What kind of sin? How this two group born? Yes, sexual immorality. So that's why you see the Moabites, right? Continuing to kill what? The chosen people of God. Just like nowadays. Sexual immorality will kill us if we're not careful. And look at Lot's. One decision that he made, that is to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost everything that he had. And now after this, what happened to Lot after this? Did we hear about him at all? I see, he's gone. His lineage is gone, right? And because he had daughters, and the daughters had husband. The husband doesn't care, who died in Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, his life completely a mess. Completely a mess. But let's look at Abraham's life. So God is the one. Let's go to chapter 13. Genesis 13. Verse 18. Then Abraham moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. So here, right, and Hebron is the opposite of where Lot was going. Then that's where Abraham built his tent. Not only built his tent, what did he do besides building a tent? He built an altar. This is so important, brothers and sisters. Wherever your family life is, wherever your family is, that's where you build an altar. If you don't have that altar, then God cannot be with us. Because that altar is the place where you and I can communicate with God. An altar is where you and I worship God. So even though right now, at your age, you can build your own altar. And you can encourage your mother and your father to build an altar. And you can encourage your siblings to build an altar. Because remember when Lot went to Sodom and Gomorrah, all he experienced what? His war, right? His war. What about Abraham? What did Abraham experience? Look at chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. So here, while Lot was experiencing war and things like that, what was Abraham experience? And look at chapter 18, verse 1. Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So can you compare Lot's life and Abraham's life right now. Abraham, what's going on with Abraham over here? There's two verses we just read. Yeah, the Lord appeared to him. So in other words, what's that mean? The Lord appeared to him. He's holy, yes, and what else? What kind of life does he has? Very different than Lot, right? Peaceful, joyful, right? There's no war. The Lord, the one who showed up. Actually, the Lord showed up to him many times. Why? Because he built an altar. That's why a life of prayer, that is the altar you and I must build. And only then that God will appear to us. Remember, when Abraham, when Lot lost all his possession, right? But look at Abraham, okay? Look at Abraham. Chapter 14, verse 14. 14, verse 14. Now when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and went and pursued as far as Dan. Can you imagine that? How many servants are here that's trained? 318. If that is the case, you know how many servants he has? You have a servant at home? Your mother is a servant, right? Your mother, all our mothers. Are your brother, your brother, your servant? Your young brother, your servant, right? Can you imagine you have 318 servants that know how to fight and train to fight? How awesome is that, right? But this is not beside all the other servants, right? The cooking servant, the singing servant. I don't know what other servant they have, but plenty, right? And then what? And then during this time, Lot had nothing, right? But, you know, Abraham had so many servants, right? And then look at verse 16. I'm sorry, 15, 15. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus, verse 16. So he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother's Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. Wow. Like chapter 14, right? Chapter 14, verse 15. So Lot got kidnapped and all the possession was stolen by his enemy. But for Abraham, not only did he didn't get kidnapped, he's the one that went to rescue them and bring all the possessions back. You see the contrast, right? Between Lot's life and the life of Abraham. Why? Because of one decision that they made. And then what else? So we can see. But look at Abraham, right? How virtuous he was. Look at verse 21, chapter 14, verse 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Give me the person and take the goods for yourself." Verse 22. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord and Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth," verse 23, "that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say I have made Abram rich," verse 24, "except only what the young man have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, Anna, Esco, Mamre, let them take their portion." So what does this mean? Because Abraham said to the king of Sodom, first, we do not know how many years Lot lived in Sodom. And he never mentioned it, the king spoke to him, right? But here, the king spoke to Abraham and told Abraham, "Why don't you take everything and just give me the people?" What did Abraham say? Sister, what did Abraham say? He won't take anything. Why? Why he won't take anything? Yes. So the king cannot say that he make Abraham rich. What does that mean nowadays, spiritually speaking? What does that mean nowadays, spiritually speaking? What does that mean nowadays, spiritually speaking? Sister. Sisters, help her out. Help her out. Don't take bribes. Don't take bribes, okay? What do you mean don't take bribes? Like, okay. This Sodom and Gomorrah represent what? Huh? Okay, the world, right? Sodom and Gomorrah represent the world. And the king of this world, right? The king of this world, what? Of course, it's Satan, right? The king of this world is Satan. So what happened? God, you know, Abraham said, look, he will not take anything from the world. You understand? Do you understand? So now what, you and I are children of God. God blesses with everything, but make sure we don't take things from Satan when Satan wants to offer us things. Why? Because God will be the one to bless us. Because every time Satan gives us something, there will be side effect that comes with it. One of my clients, right, that I used to work with, he's a cannibal. He does eat people. He ate 3 people before. But this is during the war, right? Oh, these little children here, sorry. But yeah, let me talk quietly, just kidding. So actually, for him, he studied witchcraft, right? He studied witchcraft. So he's the person, when I see him for therapy, I have to leave my door open, right? Just in case he goes crazy, right? Because his previous therapist, he already threatened her to kill her and her family. So she had to sell her house and everything and move, right? So now he's seeing me. If without Christ, there's no way I would see this guy. Because when he come to see me for therapy, he can look at me for 1 hour without blinking. 1 hour without blinking. Can you imagine that? Because he was possessed by evil spirit, you understand? Then he does his witchcraft. He does many witchcraft. So one time, one of the workers from my agency went to his house. And all she see was like evil spirit around in his house. With the old physical eyes, he saw it. Because he does a lot of witchcraft, right? And he has a lot of power. Why? Because this power is given by Satan. Given by Satan. Of course, you see his whole life is a mess. Because his daughters, all his daughters, because this power is given him by Satan, but there's consequences. So his daughters, they all talk to themselves. Because when they at school, one of the daughters just sit on the steps like this, and she just talk. And people look at her, she's talking to her. But when I ask her who she's talking to, she say, oh, her friend is right here. She has a friend. Of course, evil spirit friend, right? You understand? And this one other patient of mine, a chubby guy. And this guy can foretell the future, what's going on. Because this guy, he did not know that my brother was in jail, right? Did not know my brother was in jail. So when he came to see me, he said, oh, I have a vision. And his vision, this guy, so-and-so, they're a friend, right? They're a friend. My brother and him are a friend. But he did not know I was his brother, right? Because I don't disclose myself, right? So yeah, this guy, his name is Sam Noel, right? Hey, that's my brother he's talking about, right? Right? Because my last name is Noel Mantir. He didn't put that together, right? Because my Cambodian last name is Noel. He said, yeah, this day and this day he will get out from jail. I was so amazed, like, wow. Is it true or what? And then guess what? When I went to pick up my brother from jail, that is exactly the same day that he got out. This guy, he knows. He can tell, right? And one night he was sleeping, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, they found him up in a tree, a very high tree. And he's a chubby guy. He found him up in a tree with his underwear. Why? Because then, of course, they got him down and he came to see me for therapy. And then I asked him, what happened? Why you climb up the tree? He's like, no. I was sleeping and I saw my uncle. He keeps saying, hey, come up here. I'll give you a lot of money. So he climbed up the tree, right? There's no way this fat guy can climb up the tree. There's no way, you understand? He's evil spirit. But his life is also a mess. So really, that's why if you take things from Sodom, the king of Sodom, sooner or later you got to pay the price. Why take things from the king of Sodom? Don't take things from this world. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, when he's tempted 3 times, Satan offered him everything. But our Lord Jesus Christ knows it's not worth it. Why? Because everything that he can have, God can bless him. the authority and power, right? Did God give Jesus Christ authority and power? Yes. You understand? So the same thing, you and I must make choices. What do we want to do? You want to be blessed by God, or you want to be cursed by Satan? That's really the two questions you must, are the two decisions you must make in your life. Really, one day, if you become good at something, and you have to work on Sabbath, no matter how much the price is, you don't sell yourself to Satan. Why, the minute you work on Saturday, and then you owe Satan something, you understand? Because Satan will say to you, look, if you work on Saturday, I give you extra 30,000. But what? You cannot go and worship God on Saturday. You understand? It's, for us, we must see in that way. Because Satan offered Jesus Christ the glory of the world. Quite often, Satan doesn't offer us that at all. He knows that we don't worth that much. You understand? Sometimes he just offers us what? Oh, yeah. You can buy a new car. You work extra. You just work on Sabbath. Right? That's it. A new car. It's nothing. But a lot of us, we fall for it. We fall for it. And look at Esau, right? Sometimes we laugh because of Esau. He sold his birthright for what? A bowl of what? Huh? Red stew. Red stew is like red curry. I don't know what kind of stew it is that is red. I think because he's a red man, right? Esau means red, right? He's hairy red, his red head, his red everything, right? So obviously, if you see red, ooh, right? But he sold his birthright for a bowl of red stew. Come on, right? But you and I, we do the same thing nowadays, really. Quite often, we sell our birthright, right, for nothing at all. The thing in this world. And why did he sell his birthright? That is the question. Why did he sell his birthright? Why? Huh? Okay, he didn't think it's worth anything, but during that time, why did he sell his birthright? He was hungry. So in other words, when you and I feel empty and void inside our hearts, that's the time you and I will sell ourselves, right, for our birthright. Why? Because when you feel hungry, when you feel lonely, right, it's very difficult, right? Just like for young sisters, right? Right? Why do you need boyfriend? For what? What are you going to do, right? Because some sisters, they feel like, I need boyfriends, right? I need the boyfriend. For what? Why? Because when you feel empty inside, you feel the boyfriend going to say something nice to you, right? I love you. Right? Where you been all my life, right? All this stuff, right? You understand? Then you feel like, oh, you're a sugar rush, right? They're so sweet, right? But on and on, you can have cavity. Too much sugar, right? Really? So that's why, the reason why we do what we do, right? Why some of us play so much video games? Because we feel empty inside. Really, it's as common as that. I'm not saying video games are bad or watch TV is bad. I'm not saying that at all, right? Everything is in self-control and moderation, right? Of course, if you go to my house, I have a 63-inch TV, right? And have surround sound, right? Speakers as almost big as me, right? I have 5 of them, right? You know, but I'm hardly there to listen to it. It's all collecting dust, right? But when I'm there once in a while, yeah, I just lay on my theater chair, right? Put on music. It's nice, right? I enjoy myself, right? Sometimes I even dance by myself in my house, right? Exercise, right? Because sometimes you're on a treadmill, you just feel like, oh, I might feel like a rat or something, right, on a treadmill. So why not jump up and down, right? Be like a, you know, exercise, right? Why not, right? But this, everything's in moderation, right? Moderation. You cannot spend more than an hour a day on media, right? Do this and do that, right? I mean, I know some of you addicted to Facebook, right? Every second, Facebook, right? Every second. Can you imagine you have the kind of desire for the Word of God? Wow. That'd be awesome, right? I'd be looking at you, don't look at me, you're too shiny, right? You're too glorious, right? If you have that kind of mentality, even put only what? An eighth of the time you put on the things of the world for our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see your life will transform. Your life will transform. And then not only, remember that Abraham, right? A Lot, his wife died, right? But look at Abraham's wife. Let's go to chapter 21, Genesis chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah, and he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. But here, Sarah, God visited her, and what? And gave her Isaac. It's so wonderful, right? So wonderful. It's completely 100% opposite of Lot's family. And then remember, right? Lot's two children, right? They destroyed themselves, right? What about for Abraham, right? Let's chapter 25. I'm sorry, not chapter 25. 22. Genesis 22. Look at verse 16. And said, "By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son." Verse 17. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which are on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of the enemies. Verse 18. In your seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Wow. Look at the contrast between Lot's life and Lot's family, and between Abraham's life and his family. Lot's two daughters commit incest with their father. Here, Isaac, God bless him and Abraham, that through him, all the nation, right, will come out. And they can be as numerous as the sea that's on the seashore, right? As the sand on the seashore, and as the star that's in the sky. How wonderful this is. So that's why, brothers and sisters, for us, there's two choices in life. Either we're with God or we're against God. And that is it. But make sure when you and I do things, we do it from the eyesight of the Lord. And the only way we can do it from the eyes of the Lord is if we build an altar to the Lord in our lives, in our family's life. And that altar is praying, communicating with God. If we don't have this kind of communication, it's very difficult for God to be with us. There's one of the brothers in Hawaii, right? And actually, his brother, he's the CEO of a botanical garden, right? Botanical garden. So, but he wanted to hold this event in Hawaii. And this event was taking him 6 years already, right, to try to hold this event, because this event will bring millions of dollars to Hawaii. They expect about $50 million to the state of Hawaii. So he tried to get this event, and this event involved like 10,000 people gonna, you know, go to Hawaii during that time. So, but there's one thing, right? There's one thing that he need to seal the whole deal, that they will have the event in Honolulu. He need a letter from the president, you know, President Obama, right? He need a letter from him. Without the letter, they say they're not gonna come to have the event. And guess what? He called up Obama. I wrote him an email to Obama. Because Obama is from Hawaii, right? So when he, and then Obama pretty much just, you know, look at the letter, because actually this brother is also well known, right? In Hawaii also. So because of this, I'm sure that the governor, I mean, when I was there, he was on TV with the governor, right? And they were speaking, I don't know what they were talking about, but he spoke longer than the governor, right? And so for him, he has this relationship with the governor, he has a relationship what? And also with the president. Because of this, the president wrote a letter. And this letter was so personal, in the sense that, like, he endorsed this event. So pretty much the, you know, the community, the people who run this event, just stamp it and seal it, they can have the event by next year. Why? Because the letter from Obama. Because he has a relationship with him.
So for us, brothers and sisters, Obama is nothing compared to our God. Come on, right? Obama is nothing. But if you and I have good relationship with our God, there's nothing that he will not do for us. Just like Abraham, the reason why Lot was saved, because of Abraham. Why? Because Abraham spoke to God just like a friend, negotiated with him. This is a relationship that you and I must have. And for me, I'm still trying my best to have that kind of relationship with God. But I'm very far from it. But that is my goal. My goal that one day I can really talk to God face to face. That he can really call me that I'm his friend. So this is a very important relationship. As long as we have God with us, then there's no choices that you and I make will be a mistake. But because everything that we do, God will guide us. Because our goal, actually, to one day when we kneel down and pray, our goal is just to say hallelujah and praise his name. We don't need to say anything. We don't need to do anything. Because when we get to the point, when we kneel down and pray, that we just give everything to him. Whatever we do in our lives, we just give to him. We just want to glorify his name. And that's the day that we will know that we have great relationship with him. So praise and thank God. Let's all rise and sing one hymn.